Did you ever have a time when God broke through one of the old familiar prayers you pray to teach you something new, to bring you to a new level of understanding and faithfulness? I remember one time when it happened to me with the Our Father. I'll tell you what God had me realize coming up next.
Helping you grow deeper on your spiritual journey. Welcome to The Inner Life with Patrick Conley.
Greetings, friends, and welcome to The Inner Life. I'm Patrick Conley, happy to be continuing this Lenten journey together with you. Thanks for walking along with us today. Well, saints of old have long reflected on the richness of the Our Father. Scripture scholars and theologians have written page after page on the depths of intimacy with God that is expressed in these few simple words that our Lord has taught us. Now, I don't place myself in that category, but there was one specific time when the Lord did point out to me a new, different, and better way of praying it. Specifically, the line in the prayer that caught me was, "Thy will be done." And for years, decades even, I had prayed that prayer and prayed that line with longing that God would intervene in the lives of those around me and in the often dire circumstances of the world in which we live to bring about His will. And while I don't think that's wrong or misguided, the Lord suggested I add to that a new way of looking at the meaning of that line, one that was more self-reflective. Because yes, God can and often does intervene in the lives of others and in our circumstances, but what about in my life? He's just as eager that His will be done in my heart as He is for it to be done in the world around me. And in my life, I have a role to play. I have the responsibility of discerning God's will and saying yes to it. Praying, "Thy will be done," while thinking, "Thy will be done in my life," is an invitation to respond in faith to the divine will, to the divine presence within me. Doing God's will. It's the Christian's marching orders. How do you do it and do it well? How can you grow in knowing God's will for your life? That's what we're discussing on the show here today with the willing and able help of our spiritual director, Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, who's a priest of the Oblates of St. Joseph, and he currently serves as Provincial Superior and Shrine Director for the Oblates of St. Joseph out of Santa Cruz, California. Father Spencer, welcome to the program. Great to be with you.
Thanks, Patrick. The pleasure's all mine. Happy to join you.
Excellent. And I'm excited about the topic today, doing God's will. And maybe a place where we can start is before, you know, we can accept it or even say yes to it, we must know that He's asking something of us, that He has a will for us. So maybe we can talk about discernment. So what is discernment?
Yeah, this is probably at the heart of following Jesus, right?
Right.
When Jesus begins to reveal Himself to us, He doesn't take away our free will. He doesn't force us into any discipleship or into any following. What He does is He asks us to consider what He reveals to us, and He calls us, right? He says, "Follow me." But to do that, we have to filter out all of the things that get in the way of seeing His will clearly, right? I mean, you were getting at it yourself. "Thy will be done" is not only about us doing what God's will is, it's also about us, well, what is it that He wants from me?
Right.
What is it that He's proposing? And unfortunately, Patrick, as human beings, we're very conflicted because of sin, because of evil in the world, because of all the different pressures that are put upon us. When we look at something or some situation, we don't always see it so clearly. So discernment, I think, is really at the heart and at the core of responding in discipleship to the Lord. And what it means essentially is looking at the information that we have and making a judgment call, right? And making a call about whether something is from God, whether something is just from me, and then working to put that into practice.
Right. And but even that can be a little confusing, confounding, perhaps, to be sure, as we're seeking to know God's will. And I think, I mean, a lot of people, I think, enter into that desire, right? They want to do God's will, but there's some specificity needed. But this is, discernment is something that we can do on a, and probably should do on a daily basis, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I mean, this is kind of at the, I said it's at the heart of the discipleship. It's also one of the biggest conundrums at the center of discipleship, right? Because how can I really know what God's will is if there are so many conflicting factors in me? I mean, let's take an example, right? Let's say somebody has to go on a diet and they need to lose weight. They know they need to get healthy. So they're going to have to make judgment calls about what they eat, about how they eat, about the quantity they eat, this kind of thing. But what's also happening within their mind, within their brain, within their stomach, is this attraction to eat ice cream and eat lots of carbs and eat things that are unhealthy for them.
Preach it, Father, yes.
So we're going to experience this intellectual awareness that, well, I should do one thing, but on the other hand, my passions, my desires are telling me to do another. And it's a simple example, but it happens everywhere in the world. I mean, it happens even in our relationship to God. We say, well, I, for example, would really like to, I don't know, become a priest. But on the other hand, there are limitations within me. There are fears that maybe I have. There are difficulties I know I'll experience. So how do I work through all of these things to really decide or really come to a realization of, well, what does God want? Not just what I think, right. Not just what I feel, not just the inclinations I have, but what does God want? So you're right, Patrick. It's really at the heart of everything. And it's complicated. I mean, that's why we're going to spend probably a good part of this hour talking about the different facets of how do we know that and how do we tease out all these different elements of discernment.
Well, again, I'm excited to hear more from you. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ of the Oblates of St. Joseph. When was a time when you discerned God's will? You knew what the Lord was asking of you. And did you say yes? And what happened? Maybe even if you said no, what happened? Give us a call. Join the conversation. Love to hear from you. 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149 is our phone number. Or if you'd like to send us an email, send it to innerlife@relevantradio.com. All right. Well, Father, let's dive in here. You said it is complicated. So what are some of the maybe the basic cues that we can start with about discerning God's will? How do we know that we're at least in the ballpark?
Well, I think first we have to start off with that awareness that I need to seek what God wants from me, not just what I want and what's best for me. I need to try and be aiming and orienting myself towards God's will. And that's the first. I mean, it sounds kind of basic, but that's important. You know, I mean, when I have to figure out my vocation or when I have to make some serious decision in life, I need to approach it from the perspective of, well, not only what do I want, but what is God's will for me here? So we have to have that point of view to begin with. But I think where we start, first of all, is prayer. We take these decisions to prayer. And what's interesting, Patrick, is prayer kind of, it changes the perspective, I think. It changes the way we look at a decision, the way we look at the different elements that go into making that decision. Because as we pray, we go outside of ourselves. Now it's not just what Father Matthew wants. Now it's not just the way that I see it, but it's, oh, hey, I need to look at this from a bigger perspective, a wider perspective, and see what God is trying to communicate to me. So we have to pray. And that might sound rather basic and rather simple, but it's essential. It's essential, right, in any discernment as it is in the Christian life. Why? Because it helps us. It invites God into the process of our decision making.
Right. Now, I've had a few times, maybe a handful of times in my long life of trying to seek after Jesus, after doing God's will in my life, when I felt pretty assured that this is exactly what the Lord is saying to me in this time. But it's only happened, you know, like I said, a handful of times. So what are the other, when it doesn't seem like God's responding with, you know, with the note right out of heaven, you know, the inscribed tablet that says, Patrick, this is what I want you to do. What are we looking for then? How are we seeking God to respond?
Well, I think the next step is we say, what is consistent with what God has revealed to us? What is consistent with God's plan for us? And what this means is it means taking our options and putting them before the teachings of the church, putting them before what's revealed to us in scripture and interpreted for us by the magisterium. I mean, a good example, right, is somebody's discerning a new career and maybe they started praying about it. And then they look at these, the what their new career is going to demand of them. And maybe their new career is going to include some decisions and behaviors that are going to be hard to jive with the gospel, right? Mm. Maybe they're going into the medical profession and they're considering doing something that is opposed to Catholic bioethics and medical moral teaching. Well, then what you can do is you can compare. Will this career offend God through the objective norms that he's given to me? Will it go against the catechism of the church? Will it go against the teachings we see in scripture? And if that's the case, then I can eliminate that option from my discernment, right? So I can kind of whittle down the options that are before me. It's not always so clear cut, you know, it's not always just, oh, this particular choice is objectively, goes objectively against the gospel. But there are many times where let's say you were discerning how to talk to somebody about, you know, a situation. Well, we can rule out gossip right away. We can rule out, you know, an aggressive conflict right away that doesn't have compassion and charity at its center. We can rule out a lot of different approaches that might have been natural positions for us to take, but will help us to arrive at a better decision. So I think that's the next step, Patrick. First, we pray, we bring it to the Lord. But then what we also do is we say, well, how does this fit into what God has revealed to us? And things that don't depend on just my subjective interpretation, right? Not just on my appetites or my passions, but instead on what I can learn objectively from the church.
Because I got to tell you, that next pint of ice cream still is calling my name.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, right?
right.
And then we say, well, that would be gluttony, so I shouldn't do that, right?
Very good. Our spiritual director today here on The Inner Life is Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, and we're speaking about doing God's will. So first, I mean, we're talking right now about discerning God's will, which is, that's a large part of it, too, is figuring out, well, what is God asking of us? Okay, Father, so I appreciate the fact that, yes, if it's something that's contradictory to the teachings of the faith, we can rule that out. We understand that that's not what God would have for us because it doesn't lead to our deepening relationship with Him. It doesn't lead to our ultimate happiness and fulfillment as His creation. But what about if we're choosing between things that are either amoral, so they're not really on the moral spectrum, as it were, or maybe even two goods. I mean, they're two things that come along that we have to make a choice. We can't do them both. So then, I mean, any advice there?
Yeah, I think then what we start to do is we start to understand the decisions better. We start to understand the context and the circumstances of the choice or decision we have to make. I mean, I can give you a good example, right? When I was discerning my vocation, when I was discerning it real seriously, right? I had graduated from college. I had gone through this personal kind of transformation in my faith. And then I started to be open to a vocation to the priesthood and to religious life. But I didn't really know whether that's what I should do. And also I felt an attraction to be married and to have a family as well. So what I realized pretty quickly, and also with the help of some spiritual direction, is that there's no way I'm going to be able to choose wisely and to choose honestly unless I really understand both goods. Well, right? So as you said, there are times when we have to choose between two good things. So I was having to discern between marriage and religious life. Both are beautiful vocations, right? Mm-hmm. And but in order to know, I really had to spend time, and especially when it came to religious life, because Not that I knew everything about marriage, but I had certainly a lot more firsthand experience of people being married in my family, of relationships that were successful that I could look upon and see, right? So what I had to do, Patrick, is I had to start talking with religious priests and brothers and sisters, and I had to go on vocation retreats, and I had to inform myself of what these decisions would look, of what that decision would look like. And that, to be honest, is very eye-opening, right? I think in the case of vocation discernment, we often have one expectation or many expectations of one vocation. And a lot of those might be way off, right? You might think that marriage is all just a bunch of a bundle of joy and no problems, no struggles, no difficulties. And I hate to break it to you, but it's not. Right? And so we have to know that, right? We have to understand what each decision includes in order to inform it better. So we pray. We can rule out those things which are opposed to God's will or not in part of his plan. But then to really begin discerning between good things in our life, we have to understand them better. And that takes time, it takes study, it takes knowing and learning about things more.
Yeah. Informing oneself, it's a great piece of advice. It's a great thing to do as we're trying to discern God's will in our life so that we can embrace it and say yes to it and move forward with the way that the Lord has called us. Our spiritual director again today is Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ. He is leading us down the path of understanding better discernment and doing God's will. Excuse me. And we've got plenty of time yet to talk about this, and I would love to hear some stories. If you've got a story, when was a time in your life that you responded positively to what God was asking of you? What difference did it make in your life, in the lives of those around you? We'd love to hear. 888-914-9149. Give us a call, 888-914-9149, or send us an email, innerlife@relevantradio.com. We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, we'll have more about discerning God's will right after this. This hour is sponsored by St. Gregory Recovery Center, helping you or a loved one live a substance-free life. Information at relevantradio.com/Gregory. That's relevantradio.com/Gregory. Yeah, welcome back to The Inner Life. My name is Patrick Conley, and we are speaking with our spiritual director, Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, about discerning and doing God's will. Great stuff so far, Father, and I'm already loving it. I did have a question, though. I think oftentimes you were talking about informing yourself about the decision that is in front of you and learning about the options that you have when we're talking, especially when we're talking about two goods, obviously. What role do family and friends play in knowing God's will and what God would have you do?
Yeah, I think this is the next logical step when it comes to discernment. You know, if you notice, most of what we've been talking about up to this point includes only me and God, right? I pray and I try to listen to God, but that also comes through the lens of my own experience. So a lot of it is just me and my interpretation and my study. But the next step, I think, is really to get a bigger picture of a situation, and a bigger picture includes talking to people that we trust, that we know, that understand not only the decision or the situation we're evaluating, but that knows us as well, right? And this, for example, I mean, I can go back to vocational discernment. It took me longer to accept that I could be an oblate of St. Joseph than it took other people, right? My parents and my close friends could see the qualities within me more quickly that would work in religious life, whereas I couldn't see those things as easily for a variety of reasons, right? I mean, we sometimes just aren't aware of the gifts we have or of the limitations that we have, or sometimes our perspective is skewed because of fear or maybe because of pride. We see ourselves differently than others might see us. It's not that others are perfectly objective, and that's why we have to receive that advice from friends and family and weigh it, right? So maybe my parents, if I'm close to them and they know me well, maybe I can trust that advice much more than, say, my best friend in high school, who also might know me and understand me, but has a much different relationship and time difference from me now. So, right. Yeah, I think friends and family are very important, especially in bigger decisions. People that we trust, which includes maybe our priests that we talk to that know us and that we know they have our best interests in mind. And yeah. That will help us in the discernment process, Patrick, right? It will help us to understand a situation better.
Yeah. Yeah, I understand that. And I get that, too, that's really been a huge kind of impact on my own life, especially when making the bigger decisions is seeking out those who I know and trust, just like you were saying, Father, and to get their thoughts, get their opinions, get their wisdom that they can share with me about what exactly God might be saying to me. So excellent. Our spiritual director, Father Matthew Spencer, we're talking about discerning and doing God's will. And two, Father, I was just thinking that what about our desires? Because, you know, sometimes our desires will obviously lead us very astray. I think we all have experience with that. But, you know, there are times when I've desired something that actually turned out to be a very good thing. And as I stepped into it, the Lord kind of used that desire to lead me down that path. What do you think about our desires in terms of discerning God's will?
Yeah, I think they can. I mean, God puts desires within us, and he does that in order to nudge us along, sometimes in order to push us along very forcefully. The thing we have to be careful about with desires and passions, we could say, and include them kind of in the same category, is that, and by passions, I don't mean only negative things, right? I mean, maybe my passion for the gospel will lead me to want to go to mass more often and maybe to pray more often. Passions can also be empowering when we use them in the right context. But I think we all also have to look at them not as the sole determining factor of whether I'm going to go along a certain path. So for example, I know several couples who have come to the point of getting married and then realize that, well, it was their romantic and passionate kind of love for each other that made them feel that this was, you know, that that could conquer everything. But as soon as they started going through the marriage prep process, then all of a sudden they had to see that there has to be more here than just how you feel, and there has to be more here than just what you're experiencing within your heart. You also have to include more objective things. Right. But I think we have to be careful and cautious with desires. But I think we also don't just completely discount them. You know, there are times when our desires, and it can work both ways, Patrick, right? Like, we can have a desire to do something that is not good for us, and so therefore we can make the opposite choice. I mean, we were talking about ice cream as a simple example earlier, right?
Right.
We can catch ourselves and say, wow, I'm really pining after this ice cream now, and that should remind me that, wait a sec, I need to temper my passions and choose things that are maybe better for me. So yeah, I think desires and passions can be helpful. In fact, they can also be challenging, especially if they're not ordered properly and not reined in. But that's part of the Christian life, right? Is growing in self-mastery and making sure that our desires are within our control.
Most certainly. Yes, very good. If you have a time that you are, well, maybe it's right now. Maybe you're wrestling with a decision right now, trying to discern God's will. You have a question for our spiritual director, Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ. Give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-914-9149, 888-914-9149. Father, let's take a phone call. We've got Andrea, who's calling in from Gardena, California. Andrea, welcome to The Inner Life.
Hi, thank you. Well, I was calling in to say something, and I guess I'll just support what you were talking about while I was in queue. I wanted to say that when I lost my job because I was injured, I was almost homeless. I was right at the door of being literally homeless, and that the woe is me of despair and the how could you of pride was interrupting my ability to really take control and do what I needed to do to get a second, to get a job. And so it was only interrupted by an abundance of prayer that I was able to even get a part-time job and save my home. But without the interruption of an abundance of prayer, I really think that despair and pride would have eaten me up, and I would honestly be out there, you know, panhandling right now. Mm-hmm. So literally without prayer, that's how I was able to discern. And it wasn't even conscious. It was just with prayer. I think that was the one that turned the ticket.
Wow, that's powerful. Praise God that you're doing well now, Andrea. I'm grateful that the Lord is watching out for you. It is. I mean, I love this example because sometimes what discernment means is breaking out of this cycle that we have of approaching problems or situations in a previously defined way. So it happens a lot that we will approach people or situations or difficulties with the same mentality, the same attitude. And that can be problematic for us. I mean, because if there's something new to be learned, something new for us to discern, then we need to break out of that cycle sometimes. And I love the fact, Andrea, that prayer was that tool for you. And it doesn't immediately solve the problem, right? You pray one rosary and all of a sudden you don't have the best employment, but it starts changing your mindset and it starts changing your perspective and your view on the process. And ultimately it does strengthen your resolve to handle that situation better. So thanks for calling, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. That's it's a great testimony, right? To involving the Lord in our struggles. I mean, well, especially in our struggles when we're facing something that might completely upend our life. Where better place to go than to God himself and to seek to know his will in the moment, in the time that is coming to you. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ. If you have a time when you actually said yes to God's will, and what change, what difference has that made in your life and the lives of those around you, give us a call, join the conversation. Or if you do have a story or you're wrestling with trying to make a decision right now, our number here at The Inner Life is 888-914-9149. Again, 888-914-9149. Well, all right, so great advice thus far, Father. I mean, some wonderful things to kind of sink ourselves into in discerning the will of God. But let's move on to the actual, like, saying yes, because that isn't always straightforward either. I mean, you were talking about our passions, and frequently they might not lead us down this path of diametrically opposed to God's will, but, you know, why don't we take a little time to do this first, or let's get this in first. Maybe some advice on how do we accept and then move forward with the will of God?
I have shared this example countless times, and I'm sorry if I'm like a broken record at people that have heard me before, but for me on this point, right, on actually making the decision, the example of Saint Joseph for me is so powerful. You know, we just celebrated, of course, the feast of Saint Joseph a few days ago. And Saint Joseph had this, we read in Matthew 1, had this really important discernment to make, right? He learns that Mary is pregnant. He most likely is told by her about this special role that she's been commissioned by for God and to serve the Lord and bring salvation to God's people through Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And Joseph has to decide, well, is he going to continue in his marriage with Mary, or is he going to divorce her quietly? Mm-hmm. And he must have discerned, right? It must have been agonizing and terrible to get to that point. But ultimately, he does decide to divorce her quietly. And he's going to act on it, right? Now, notice, Patrick, he hadn't made the right decision, right? I mean, he chose the wrong path, but he did it in good faith. He wasn't out there, you know, discerning based on only his own passions, his own desires, but he was really trying to say, what's the right thing here? And so he decided to divorce Mary quietly, St. Matthew tells us. And right away, he goes to sleep. He has a dream. And the angel of the Lord says to him, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, right? Because the child in her womb has been conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. And so his decision wasn't the right one, but he didn't need to fear so much about making the right decision or the wrong one if he's living in God, right? And I think this is important, Patrick. Sometimes we imagine that God is putting difficult decisions on us and then watching over us as if he's maniacally waiting for us to trip up and make some bad decision and go astray, and just he's trying to see whether it's going to work out for us or not. And that it's not how he looks at us. He wants us to succeed, right? He wants us to persevere in his will. And if we're doing our best and living our lives in good faith and really trying to evaluate those decisions, then even if we make a wrong decision, like Saint Joseph at that point, he will help us to get back on track. So I think the first thing I'd say, Patrick, is it's so important to follow through. It's so important to act. And I think we especially in our own times have a problem with this, right? We have difficulties with analysis paralysis, where we look at something for so long, right? We're just paralyzed. We can't follow through with it. I know people who have been discerning their vocations for 15 years and they just can't act on it and can't make that decision. And it's not healthy for them, and it's not right for them to approach it that way.
Right.
And like I think that's what we have to do. We have to follow through with that decision.
Yeah, like the bumper sticker that I've seen, which is hang on, let me overthink this, right? I mean, analysis paralysis, nice. Right? Yeah. Right. But what I'm hearing you say, Father, is that, to use another quip, that it's impossible to steer a parked car, right? I mean, you can't turn if the car's not moving, so you got to follow through. Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, I like that example too. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take another call. We've got Caitlin, who's calling in from Rancho Cucamonga, California. Caitlin, welcome to the Inner Life.
Thank you. Thank you for the welcome. This is my first time actually listening to Relevant Radio, and I'm excited I was able to learn how to use the app so quickly.
Fantastic.
Wow, that's cool. Great.
My mom is a listener, and her name is Janine. So, but she's always listening and always telling me stuff. And my dad's a real faithful person, so I in turn have both faithful parents, and they seem to rub off on me, I suppose. But
very good. So, Caitlin, how is doing the will of God played out in your life?
Well, it's made things a lot easier to accept. Because for the longest time I was mad at God, and I didn't like being mad at God, but at the same time I was like, well, you know what, you gave me this illness, it's called Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, by the way, and you gave me this awful illness when I was 19, I had to give up my horses, I had to give up everything, and I'm basically bedridden now, and and I was mad, and then I realized that, you know, praying the Our Father, and, you know, and it says, thy will be done, and I was, that just, like, hit me one day, and I was like, wow, like, I just, his will be done, like, that's, I mean, I say it every day, the Our Father, and I mean, in the rosary, I say it a couple times, and it just, like, hit me, and then my dad always said, you know, you're doing God's will, you're doing God's will, and I'm like, you know what? I don't want to do God's will anymore. I'm tired of it. But it's relieved a lot of, it relieved my anger in God, because I now know that he's not making me suffer for a reason. I mean, he is for a reason. There's a reason out there. We know it, but we trying to put this in the right words. Just doing the will of God, it eases it up, the suffering. It knows, it makes me feel like I'm suffering for a reason, and that, because before I was suffering for no reason and it was God's fault, and now I'm suffering for a reason and doing the will of God. And in fact, I have a tattoo that says thy will be done on my side. And so to keep me focused on that. And I implore those who, or I don't know if that's the right word, but I would like more people to know that the will of God is important. Or people will be like what I was talking to someone the other day, And I said, oh, well, I will be done, you know. And then she goes, yeah, or whatever happens, happens. And I'm like, or whatever happens is meant to be. A lot of people say that. They don't want to get God into the picture. They just want to say, whatever happens is meant to be, you know, it's meant to be. And so that's the same thing as the will of God. So
I think that's a great point, actually, Caitlin. And Father, I know I've heard that, you know, St. Thomas More has this great reflection on yeah, whatever comes our way, we must accept as the will of God. Where would you, what would be your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, Caitlin, thanks for calling. I'm so glad that you did, and praise God you have these faith-filled parents, which I'm sure is rubbing off on you for His glory and for your own sanctification. I think we can find the will of God in the simplest, most ordinary circumstances. I mean, it doesn't mean that everything that happens is what God intended, right? And we make a distinction inside of our church of the volitional will of God and the permissive will of God. That is, what does God intend? That's what He desires for us. But what does He allow? Well, He allows you, Caitlin, to become ill. Maybe He even desired that for you, not so that you'd suffer, but so that you'd become more faith-filled, so that through your holiness, other people might come to know Jesus. And this is part of His plan, and we can find that in the simplest of circumstances. It's not just that, well, serendipity is just how things are, and everything is just random, and we just have to accept it. No, it's that God can organize creation in such a way that what He desires us to experience can come about, even in natural circumstances. Mm-hmm. So, I think this is a very important part of living the Christian life, is finding God's will in rather simple, ordinary circumstances, right? I mean, I could say, well, I really don't want to, I don't know, clean my room, right? And I really don't want to clean off my office desk, and I'd really rather just keep things messy. But hey, I could see that God is desiring me to live an orderly life, and God is desiring me to be a good steward of what He's given me. And part of that is to take care of these things and to keep clean up after myself and after others, and to make sure that I'm contributing to the building up of the kingdom, even in the privacy of my own home, right? Mm-hmm. So I think this is partly how we approach discernment and how we approach doing God's will is sometimes in the very simple, ordinary experiences of life.
Yeah, very good. Caitlin, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Our spiritual director today is Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, giving us some great advice on how to discern God's will and then how to move forward and embrace it and seek to do God's will in our life. If you have a time when you have responded well to the prompting of God in your life and you've seen that bear fruit in your life and the life of those around you, give us a call. Join the conversation, 888-914-9149. We have to take another short break, but we're going to be back with more right after this, so stay with us. Looking for a new job? How about one that offers you opportunities for spiritual, social, and charitable growth? Our sponsor, the Catholic Order of Foresters, is hiring new agents today. Visit relevantradio.com/forester, an Illinois life insurance society. Not available in all states. Welcome back to The Inner Life here on Relevant Radio on relevantradio.com and the Relevant Radio app, as Caitlin just pointed out. So very much thank you for that. My name is Patrick Conley. My thanks to Nick Sentovich, our producer, and Thomas Engesser, who's taking your phone calls, and to our spiritual director today, familiar voice here on Relevant Radio, Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, and helping us figure out what does God want for our lives and how do we say yes to that. Father, let's take another phone call. We've got Dawn who's calling in from Minnesota. Dawn, welcome to The Inner Life.
Thank you. My experience was pretty life-changing, I would say, because I actually heard the Spirit speak to me. I was at a discernment process for leadership in our parish. And there were a lot of committees that were available. And I had scoped out a couple I felt were where I belonged. Yet in the discernment process, I heard a voice clearly say, go where you are most needed. And so as they called everyone up, you know, for the different committees, and they said, if you want to go to this one, you know, follow this person, it got down to there were only two left. One was faith formation and one was finance, which I have no experience with finance. And sure enough, when they called faith formation, no one stood. So I went, and my kids were grown. It didn't make sense for me to be there, but it ultimately led me to the realm of adult faith formation, and I ended up attending the Catechetical Institute.
Hmm. Wow, that's great, Dawn, and I love this because to go where you're most needed is exactly the kind of perspective that takes us out of going to my comfort zone or going to an area where I would like to serve. And it's so consistent with how God calls us. I mean, God always, when he calls us, it seems he pushes us to do things that stretch us and make us grow and challenge us, and also invites us to help to address the various needs that are out there, not just what we want to do. So yeah, even though you felt when you maybe that, well, why should I be involved in this ministry? My kids are grown. And it was very clear that God led you, if not to catechism of children, then to catechism of adults, where your skills and gifts can be put at the use of the kingdom. So thanks, Dawn. I appreciate that testimony. Beautiful, beautiful example of God working.
Yeah, Dawn, good, great, great testimony, and I love it. Although, Father, I do have a follow-up question just to be perhaps a bit nitpicky about this, because one of the things, too, that I think oftentimes we do need to realize is that just seeing a need doesn't necessarily constitute a call, right? I mean, it doesn't necessarily mean that that's what God is calling you to. Dawn, I mean, her experience was that she heard the Lord saying, go where you are most needed. And oftentimes, yes, the Lord may say just that. But I think oftentimes, too, we can say yes to things that are clearly outside of our kind of gifts, our talents, the things that we've been given. What would you say to that?
You know, the example that comes to my mind, Patrick, is a vocation to priesthood. So there's a great need for priests in around the world, right? But especially in the United States, where you and I live, there's a great need for people to serve at the altar. But that doesn't mean that just because there's a need there that every man who hears this should then go and enter the seminary, right? Because if that's not where God wants them to serve, then certainly they shouldn't do that. That would be bad for their soul. It would be bad for the church. So you're right. I mean, the need that is out there is only one factor of our discernment. It's one factor that we put together with all of the other elements of discernment. So do I have the capabilities? Do I have the willingness to do this? Do I also have clearly the affirmation from the church to go forth and do this particular deed or act or vocation? And then also, is there a need there that I see God asking me to fill? So it is one component. I think what's important is that we often will not consider that need in our discernment, right? So we'll say, well, I know maybe that the church needs help with finance, but I don't want to do that. I do that all day in my day job, and I really don't feel like that's a ministry I want to do. Well, actually, in fact, if I have this gift of administration and of finance and number crunching, then maybe I can actually find some satisfaction and joy in service there. And if I look at it also to consider that need, then that might help. So I think it's both, right?
Yeah.
We do consider the need, but that's not the only factor we consider.
Right, right. That makes a lot of sense to me, too. And that, yes, I guess I should have clarified and said a need. It's not that it doesn't constitute a call, but it, like you said, Father, it's just it's one factor.
Yeah, correct.
Very
yeah,
good.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay, very good. You know, Nick has been waiting very patiently, calling in from Frankfort, Illinois. Nick, welcome to The Inner Life. Thanks for calling in.
It's nice to be on. Thank you so much. You know, so many things went through my mind, like the one woman said. While in the queue, I thought of so many things, but I'll stick to my original story. And that was, I was at a point in my life where I thought I was going to die, and I approached the doctor, and he said, you know, Nick, you're expressing end-stage colon cancer symptoms to me, and I need to get you in right away. So in between that time and the time I had the exploratory surgery, I thought I was done. And this is right in a time in my life when the Lord was really delivering me from inconsistencies, and I was really out there making a difference with his people. And I said, Lord, this is right when I'm doing all these good things for you. And then I said, it's your will, though, not mine. You're a better husband than me. You're a better father. You're a better anything to me. So if you want me with you, it's your will. I'm yours. And I came out of the surgery, and it ended up being a precancerous condition. So the Lord had given me that opportunity to prove to myself how much I trusted him. And he said, now trust me for everything else in your life. And the miracles that he's worked from that point on are just unbelievable when we put our hands, when we put ourselves in his hands, what he can do with us.
Yeah, that's beautiful, Nick. And I totally sympathize with that sentiment that you expressed and had when you originally received your diagnosis. How easy it is for us to say, Lord, why me? I mean, look at all the things I'm doing. Look at all the good work I'm doing. And in fact, maybe I just started ramping up and gaining momentum. Maybe my conversion has just led me to be more available to you, Lord. And now you give me this cross or this difficulty, this limitation. I can't tell you, Nick, how often that happens, right? How often it seems like we would be better off having relief from the Lord, having healing from him, having him untangle the messes of our life. And sometimes they only increase at those moments when we're really growing in faithfulness. But I think that's part of the dynamic of the Christian life, that God gives crosses and sufferings to his followers and to his disciples. And we shouldn't be surprised that the more faithful we become, the more complicated and difficult sometimes the crosses that we take will be. And that doesn't take away from the contribution we can make. What it does is it changes the contribution we can make. So in your own cross with your health, now instead of, well, maybe you couldn't be at all of the, say, faith formation activities or all of the parish events that you wanted to be at, but in your quiet suffering, you could in fact contribute to the building up of the kingdom and growth in holiness and in service of the Lord. So thanks, Nick. I appreciate your testimony.
Yes, thank you, Nick. Thanks for the phone call. Well, Father, we're getting down near to the end of the show here, and it feels like there's a lot more we could talk about and a lot more things that we could explore. But you know what? I made a little list here, and I just want to make sure that I'm hitting most of the major points that you made throughout this great hour. By the way, you can always listen to The Inner Life on the Relevant Radio app and on your podcast, your favorite podcasting platform. Just search for Inner Life. So consult church teaching, consult scripture, of course. You got to go to prayer, bring it before the Lord. Take advice from family and friends who know you well and that you trust. We've got to inform ourselves about the different options that are in front of us. We've got to consider the need. We've got to see, is there a need here? And then one of the things that you really nailed home is you got to move. You got to do something. Anything that I'm missing in all of that, Father?
Well, I would say we have to continue to remain open to God's will along the way. Yeah. I think most times our discernment doesn't lead to some final decision that will never change. Sometimes it does. You know, when the bishop put his hands on my head and ordained me a priest, that was it, right? And I'm not going to keep considering other options after that. But a lot of times discernment is an ongoing process of how we can best serve the Lord. So maybe I've been an usher at my church for many years, but I shouldn't just continue in that because that's what I've done before. I should be with an openness to serve the Lord in other, maybe new or different ways. So I think this is important for the Christian to maintain an open heart and have an availability and ongoing discernment in life.
Fantastic. Father Matthew Spencer, OSJ, has been our spiritual director today and learning and doing God's will. Father, as always, we'd like to close with a blessing, if you would.
Definitely. Heavenly Father, I ask you to look with compassion and love upon all of our listeners. Help reveal your plan to them. Give them the gift of the Holy Spirit anew, that they might discern to know and do your holy will. May Almighty God bless you all, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Appreciate the time that you've had. We've got Father Ed Looney coming up next for the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And tomorrow on The Inner Life, we're going to explore the joy of the season of Lent. Hope you won't miss that. Until then, grace and peace.